Heavenly Father, since we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth, make us hungry for this heavenly food, that it may nourish us today through Jesus Christ, the bread of life, the bread of heaven, we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about why are we afraid. And our text is in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, beginning at verse 23. Hear the Word of God. Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. And Mark recounts this story, and in chapter 4, verse 38, he adds, when they scream and say, "We're going to die, Master, don't you care that we're about to perish?" Well, you may not be down to your last heartbeat, but you may be down to your last thimble of faith. They're talking slowdowns in the economy. Prices are going up. Flare-ups in the Middle East. Upswings in global warming. Breakouts from Al-Qaeda. Demented dictators collecting weapons of mass destruction like other people collect fine wines. We're wary of a new pandemic that might come out of China. The plague of our day, terrorism, begins with the word terror. We fear being sued. We fear bills overwhelming us. We fear the sound of the clock as it ticks us closer to the grave. Can one be happy and afraid at the same time? Clear thinking and afraid. Confident and afraid. Merciful and afraid. No, fear is the bully in the high school hallway who takes up the space, who threatens loud, brash, unprotective, and for all the noise that it makes, for all the room that it takes up, fear does little good. Imagine your life wholly untouched by anxiety. What if faith, not fear, was your default reaction to threats? If you could hover a fear magnet over your heart and move it around till all the little pieces of fear, all the small grounds of shaming, of dread and insecurity and doubt were pulled out, what would remain? Can you imagine a life with no fear? This is the possibility behind Jesus' question. Why are you afraid? At first blush, we wonder if Jesus is kidding. If he's teasing. Is he serious? Is he pulling a fast one? But Jesus doesn't smile. He is in dead earnest. So are the men with him who asked that question. A storm has turned their Galilean dinner cruise into a white-knuckle plunge with the waves dropping them and bringing back up and dropping them again. And Matthew writes, Jesus got into the boat, started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake, the waves breaking into the boat. He remembered well the bouncing tempest and the bouncing boat, and he was careful in his terminology. He bypassed such common terms as spring shower, squall, cloudburst, or downpour. The word he uses, you know it, seismos. A quake, a trembling, an eruption of sea and sky. A great seismos arose on the lake. And that term still occupies our vernacular. It jumps into mind immediately. A seismologist studies earthquakes. A seismograph records them. And Matthew, along with the crew of recent recruits, felt a seismos that shook them to the core of their beings. Now, Matthew uses this word only two other times in his gospel. One is when Jesus died on Calvary and the earth shook. The second was on the morning of the resurrection when the graveyard quaked. And this is the third one. And apparently the stilled storm gets equal billing in the trilogy of Jesus' great shakeups, defeating death on the cross, defeating death at the tomb, and here silencing fear on the sea. Sudden fear. And we know the fear was sudden because the storm was. It's not there a moment ago. Now here it is with the waves breaking into the boat. Suddenly, a great seismos, a great tempest arose on the sea. Not all storms come quickly. I've read that prairie farmers can look out across the landscape and see a thunderstorm in the distance, and it's going to be some time before it gets there. And the storms in our life don't always come suddenly. Sometimes they come little by little, like when we were driving up this morning. One drop of rain on the windshield, and before we pulled up in front of the church, it was covered with raindrops. And it may break out in a full-fledged storm. And that's the way storms in our lives take place. Sudden fear. One minute the disciples are shuffling cards for a mid-journey game of hearts, and the next they're gulping Galilean sea spray as the waves crash into the boat. This is not the storm that Matthew had imagined. Do you sense his surprise when he links his two sentences? Jesus got into the boat and his disciples got in with him, and a great storm arose on the lake. Wouldn't you hope for a more chipper expression? I mean, here's believers getting in the boat with Jesus at his direction. And you want to read, Jesus got into the boat with his disciples, and a great rainbow appeared over the ship, and a flock of doves hovered over the ship, and the sea was like frozen glass, and the mast reflected its reflection off of that smooth sea. That's not the way it happened. Don't Christ followers enjoy a calendar full of Caribbean cruises? No, this story sends the not so subtle and not so popular reminder. Getting on board with Jesus can mean getting soaked with Jesus. Disciples can expect rough seas and stout winds, not calm seas and following winds. In this world, Jesus says, you will, not might, not may, not perhaps, not could, have tribulation. In this world, you will have tribulation. Christ's followers face fears and storms. It's not the absence of the storms that set us apart. It's who we discover in the storm. An unstirred Christ. Matthew says, Jesus was sleeping. Now there's a scene. The disciples scream, Jesus dreams. As thunder roars, Jesus snores. He doesn't doze. He doesn't catnap. He doesn't rest. He slumbers. Could you sleep with something like that going on around you? His snooze troubles the disciples. Matthew records his response as three staccato Greek pronouncements and one question. Our English version fills in modifiers and pronouns and so forth, but Matthew literally writes, "Lord, save perishing." Kurios, sozi, apolion. Lord, save perishing. And the question, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" They don't ask Jesus about his strength. Jesus, can you still the storm? His knowledge, are you aware of the storm? His know-how, do you have any experience with storms? But rather they raise doubts about Jesus' character, and Mark asks, "Do you not care?" Fear erodes our confidence in God and God's goodness. We begin to wonder if love lives in heaven, if God sleeps in our storms, if His eyes stay shut when our eyes are growing wide and we're tossed. If He permits storms after we get on His boat, does He care? Fear lashes and unleashes a storm of doubts. Fear deadens our recall. The disciples had reason to trust Jesus. By now, they had seen Him, as Matthew writes in chapter 4, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. They witnessed Him heal a leper with a touch, heal a servant with a word. Peter had seen his mother sick in bed, unable to get up, and at the touch of Jesus, up and serving. And they'd all seen demons, had seen demons scatter like bats out of a cave. He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Should someone mention Jesus' track record at this moment or review his resume? Do they remember the accomplishments of Christ? They may not, because fear creates a form of spiritual amnesia. It dulls our miracle memory. It makes us forget what Jesus has done and how good God is. Jesus' most common command emerges from the fear not genre. Someone is counted, and they say the gospel lists 125 Christ-issued imperatives. Of these, 21 encourage us to not be afraid, do not fear, have courage, take heart, or be of good cheer. And in second place, to love God and neighbor only occurs 8 times, but 21 times. Do not be afraid, do not fear, have courage, take heart, be of good cheer. If quantity is any indicator, Jesus takes our fear seriously. The one statement He made more than others was, "Don't be afraid." And so Jesus lifts His head from the pillar, steps out from the stern into the storm, and asks, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." To be clear, faith serves a healthy function. It's the canary in the coal mine, warning of danger. It's fear of the traffic that keeps a little one on the side of the road, not zooming out across the traffic. Fear is the appropriate reaction to a burning building or a barking dog, a growling dog. Fear itself is not sin, but fear can lead to sin. Hysteria is not from God. Paul told Timothy, "God has not given us a spirit of fear." Fear will always knock at your door. Just don't invite it in for dinner. And for heaven's sake, don't offer it a bed for the night. J. Jesus got up and gave command to the wind and the waves, and it became completely calm. He handles the great quaking with a great calming. The sea becomes as still as frozen glass, and the disciples are left wondering, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. What kind of man indeed? Turning typhoon time into nap time. Silencing waves with just one word. He is the Jesus who died for you. He is the Jesus who lives for you. He is the Jesus you can trust with all of your fears. Listen to just one more scripture from Psalms, number 62, verses 1 through 8. I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. So many enemies against one person, and all of them trying to kill me. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling me lies and telling lies about me. They praise me to my face and curse me in their hearts. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I'll not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him, for God is our refuge. Let's declare that faith as we recite together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now may the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen.